my phone? Yeah. Playing around here? Yay. It's a lot better with like 70 people in the room to find it fast. Normally I'm just wandering around looking for my phone. Ashley, will you help me get the board up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank
sorry.
You.
I'm so sorry.
Can
we
have a one-man show?
We just like to be. Okay, I'm so excited about this morning, y'all. This is kind of part two to what I started to share a couple weeks ago on embodiment. And it's something that God is really, really speaking to me about in every direction. And I hope that you might go, what is she even talking about, embodiment? And that's totally great. I pray that if you're here much, that embodiment actually becomes a really important word for you. Because here's my statement. I believe that it's the most important piece of the gospel. So, you know, how did the gospel actually come to the earth? You know, the thing that people had been waiting for years and years and years. All the different characters throughout the history of the Bible are the ones who are a picture in their own life, like Moses, of salvation, deliverance from slavery, the coming into the kingdom of God, the promised land, all those, what do they call them, types and shadows of what was to come in Jesus. It's an embodiment. I mean, the gospel has always been embodied, and then Jesus is the fullest embodiment of God that has ever existed in the world. And what scripture says is that the next fullest revelation of God in the earth is a bride in full stature and health for the groom, which is Jesus. So now, because Jesus has already come and he said, it's better that I go and I leave you my spirit to make you, the bride, fully embodied by the Spirit of God, so that the world will be covered with the knowledge of God's goodness, so that you are the glory of God in the earth. So I think embodiment is such a big deal. And so where God's been speaking to me about it, incarnation is another word for it. But the reason I'm using the word embodiment is because I really believe we especially come from a society that we are very disembodied. I mean, think about it. We're very disembodied. We are just now starting to learn how to naturally, maybe, kind of care for our bodies. And there's been a really negative thing that started to grow up in like Gnosticism, and I'm not going to go into it all, and I don't really understand it all, but I do know that the divide and misinterpretation of scripture around the flesh is bad and the spirit is good left us going, really not caring for this temple that is to house the Lord. So the Spirit of God wants to be embodied in you as a temple. There's not any part of that that is bad. He wants to fully embody your life. And that is what gospel looks like. Gospel is not a mental assent to a set of theologically sound doctrinal statements. That's a powerful thing. I mean, because the intellect is powerful. But to stop there and not have it, let it have its way with every part of our bodies. Literally, I mean, for me, I gave this example last time, but I realized I don't breathe deeply and I carry all my stress right here. So like I actually feel a lot of peace on the inside, but my body doesn't always get the message. I feel like my body is sometimes way behind where my heart and my spirit are. It's one reason for years I never would have gotten up to speak to you. In our Western culture, we are very prim and proper, and we are not very expressive. And I think that if we imagine heaven coming to earth right now, and we just snapped our fingers, how much more movement is there? How much more flow? How much more use in our bodies is there to worship the Lord and glorify him? How much freedom of movement is there? So I am talking a about bodies and movement, but I'm also talking about who you are being embodied in the world. And so one of my, it's becoming more and more of a pet peeve all the time for me. It was just a little pet peeve before, now it's a really big pet peeve. It's this model that we have where I'm like standing on a stage and have a microphone. Out of necessity, we do this. But it almost looks like a hierarchy, you know, like, well, here I am on the platform. I know you need to see me and I'm short. But, so this is helpful. But it's this a little bit of a hierarchy, like we put the people with the knowledge and the super Christians up on the stage, and then we all just consume. When if we just let maybe one thing actually become embodied in our life, it would set us on a whole different trajectory. I'd rather us picture that instead of like a pyramid where like whoever's up here is at the top and we're like kind of flowing down, that it's more like a pit. I promise you what I'm speaking of comes out of the pit, not from, it doesn't always, it usually doesn't come out of that mountaintop place. It comes out of the struggle of what it is to be a human and walk in the world and want the Spirit of God and have the Spirit of God embody us. But it's not like we just all of a sudden go, I'm embodied by the Spirit of God. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Yes, it happens right now. And then I go and I move on through my day. And then it needs to happen again. It needs to, it's like literally becomes, the filling of God's Spirit in me becomes embodied in my life to such an extent that there is no separation between what happens right here and what happens 2 hours from now and what happens tonight at 10 p.m. and what happens tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. That truly we are living an embodied life of worship and fullness of the presence of God. And I really feel like there's a vision for this in the earth that we've never really seen, like people really alive and free. And so I want to use one little scripture, actually two scriptures, and they're short, and we're going to do Art Sozo, because this is just a little way to be embodied and hear God's voice and put it on paper. And if you've never done it before, I'm going to walk you through it, and I know it's going to be fun and good and easy. The scripture is Romans 12, 12, and I'll tell you what it says once I have my phone. It might be familiar to a lot of you. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. I'm praying. My prayer and my invitation to you this morning is to hear the invitation from the Holy Spirit that this could be your entire life. The Lord's been speaking to me hope as an action. So my husband and I are going through massive transformation. Yes, that's the right word. I was going to say transition. It's transition and transformation, and I'm so thankful. And in the morning on Saturday, we sat there, and we were both asking the Lord. We've kind of decided that we're going to not try to, we both are big vision people, and we like to think about, I can picture what things could be 10 years down the road, you know, and I'm like ready to live into it now. And so one of the things I'm doing as a practice is just, it's that's great, but, and that's even great if it's the Lord's vision, really great. But Jesus, what are you saying for today? Like, and what's my action plan for today? Not just what are you saying, but where do you want me to get into action? And so we ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do today? We're not going to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will come with its own set of actions and things to attend to, but today. And I was like ready for my bullet point list, you know, and the Lord just said, it was very few words, but this essence of it was, I want you to release hope everywhere, like move in hope. The first word he just said was hope. And I was kind of like, huh, like to me that's it's like kind of ethereal words. To me it's too un-action oriented. It's like, oh, you know, kind of like, love is better for me, but love's similar, you know, or grace. Like, I love all those things, but it just feels like a cloud, not like a... To make it embodied is different. And it was like the Lord immediately started showing me, I have a lot of hope on the inside of me. I don't let it out in the way that I could. And you know, when the Lord's speaking to you, he doesn't speak from condemnation. He speaks in that way where you're like, it's like an aha moment. You're like, oh. So he was actually, I feel like, doing this gentle correction of like, hey, you want to use some of that hope that I gave you and practice it? And that was the only thing he told me. Like, literally, walk around letting it out of your mouth was like the key action point there. And I realized, I don't use that word. And so all day I found myself trying to use it. I said things like, I'm really hopeful about this thing, whatever was on my mind, which is so not a statement I would say, but it really made a significant difference in our family, like just with the kids and responding to them going, I'm super hopeful about like how it's gonna be with your friends this week. I just have a really great expectation of God's goodness. I don't know what it's gonna look like, but I'm hopeful. And that may sound silly to y'all, but if you follow me around, those are not statements I make. It's a prayer that I pray. It's who I am on the inside. It's who God's made me. But to actually let it out verbally, it's like that's this embodiment thing. That's just one little thing. Okay, so keep that in your mind. And I do want to read you the Greek words here because it just helps a lot. So that part that says be joyful in hope, basically this is a verb, noun, verb, noun, verb, noun. So be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer doesn't quite capture how action-oriented this sentence is. It's a verb, an action about something that you can actually tangibly get yourself around, not just an idea. So the verb, the first verb about joyful is, the word actually means thrive, be well, hail, rejoice exceedingly. So I love the thought of thriving in hope and literally being well in hope. I have, you know, been battling this kind of like just less than totally healthy body. And this is coming out of this season where the Lord is going, let what is in there out into your body, Casey, and it will change your health. Mm-hmm. And I'm experiencing it. I had a headache last night, and literally I felt like the Lord was leading me through how to thrive in hope in the midst of my headache. And as I was doing it, my headache would just go. And I mean, it was like instantaneous. And all I was doing was out loud going, okay, sorry, this is another direction, but hopefully it's for you guys. I'm pretty good at listening to the voice of God. It's like he's taking me a step further, and I hope this is a key for you. He's telling me not only to receive it, but then to tell my mind to not partner with the opposite of it and tell my mind to receive it. I know that's a little shift, but it's like I've been receiving from him, but it's that embodiment. Now tell your mind, because your mind's controlling so much. You know, it's like that control center, that subconscious communication center. So literally what I was doing last night was going, okay, the message here is that I have a headache. Mind, this headache's not from God, and you don't need to feel it. You can let it go. You don't have to receive it. And it would go like that. I've been doing quite a few things like that because my sleep was really messed up. I hadn't slept through the night in almost 3 years, up until a month ago. And I'm like, God, you so sustained me, because I was still thinking straight. But in the last month of sleep, I feel like I can think again and I'm a normal person again. But even in that, when I wake up and the messages that were coming at me before were just, oh, crap, here I am up again. And just going, my mind is not agreeing with that message of, oh, crap, here I am up again. My mind gets rest from Jesus. Mind, you get to rest in Jesus. I know what Jesus is saying, and now my body and my mind, you get to know what Jesus is saying. Embodiment. Okay, so to thrive in hope, I love the action of thriving. And then, what is hope? Because it does feel super elusive to me. Well, it's a feminine noun. And here's some of the words in Greek that they use. Anticipate with pleasure the good that is ahead of you. Expectation of good. And then this is what it said. It's on hope, in hope, and having hope in the author of hope, he who is the foundation and the thing hoped for. So there's this real tie to that. There's like a human foundation that is Jesus Christ, who is our hope. And it says to make hope, which I love that, because that's what God told me the other day. Like, okay, it's, don't just hope, make hope. Like, say it out there, put it out into the world. And trust, that in which one confides or to which he flees for refuge. So hope is the one to in whom we confide and whom we flee for refuge. So the truth is, often, I think I've been hoping sometimes in despair. Like fleeing, if I'm fleeing to something like fear for a refuge, or I'm fleeing to even people to affirm me and tell me everything's gonna be okay, and that's wonderful. I love people, I love affirmation from my friends. But if I'm looking to that to be my hope, you know, I'm really gonna get back the strength that it has, which is not the strength that God has. So until I fully make my hope and put my trust in the one, confide, literally flee for refuge to the confidant, which is God himself. This says hope can actually, this is what the Greek said. So let's not use the word hope, let's use the word in Greek, which is elpis. But I don't know if I'm saying that right. It says elpis can actually be an expectation of evil or fear. Isn't that interesting? Yes. So like, when we start to worry about tomorrow, we are using hope's skills. So let's make sure that we're not using hope's skills to have a confidant in something that's not the firm foundation of our life. And really, when we stop and think about it, take a step back. He's so good. He's so faithful. He works everything for our good. He's on it. So really, the only way for me to do what this verse is saying, which is be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, the next part of it, is to know that I'm actually fleeing to the one who's good. I'm going to him for expectation of good, not expectation of evil. Like, how terrible is it to run to the Father and expect evil? Like, that's coming from my wounds on earth. That's not what we have to do in the Spirit. In the Spirit, we run to him and expect good. Okay, that the next part, patient in affliction. The word patient is also a verb. So it's action oriented. It's not just like a quality. I think sometimes we reduce these words to like a character trait. Like, she's a patient person. No, I get to exercise patience. It says to remain, to tarry behind, to abide, to not recede or flee. So I love that first word, it's like what this verse is really saying is run and find your refuge in the expectation of good, and then abide and don't flee when you feel, and I don't want to use the word affliction. The word literally means, listen to this. Can't find it. It means pressure. This was huge for me because my sweet husband for years has been telling me, Casey, I don't know why, I just feel so much pressure. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I feel pressure on my chest. I feel pressure, you know, pressure at work, pressure, pressure, pressure. He uses that word all the time. And when I told him this morning that the word tribulation is actually, the meaning is pressure. Tribulation doesn't mean a lot to me. I don't know if it means to you. Be patient in tribulation or affliction, but do not flee or run in the midst of pressure. That means something to me. Oh, oppress, here it is. Oppressing, this is the word for affliction. It's, I'm totally gonna butcher it, thalipsis. Oppressing, pressing together, pressure. Metaphorically represents oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, and straits. But the word literally means a pressure and oppressing together. Pressure literally or figuratively. Okay, so then that last piece, faithful in prayer. The word faithful, it means be constantly diligent, earnest towards a thing or to a person, to attend assiduously, don't know that word, all the exercises, or to a person to adhere closely to as to a servitor, attend, give yourself fully, continually, in an instant, and wait on continually. So this is worship. This is the idea of what your life in Christ looks like. We are giving ourselves continually to the Holy Spirit, to the life of Christ. That's the word that they use to say faithful. So to me, again, just looking at the Greek word helps me understand what they mean by faithful rather than it just being a nebulous word. It's literally the thing that we're constantly turning towards. When we teach on worship here, it's this board's been behind me the whole time. But this is a very different posture than this. And so Jesus is with me all the time. God is with you. The times you felt like he wasn't, he was there. May have been like the board. Your attention wasn't on it at all. But when we worship, we turn our attention. And now faithfulness looks like attending to, fully, whatever that said, fully engaging this thing. Yeah. What
giving self fully to.
Giving self fully to. I love that. And then in prayer. And again, this verse used to depress me. Be constant in prayer or faithful in prayer. So I was like, how can I do it? I don't know how to pray all the time, pray continuously. Until the Lord showed me, no, you actually are always in a communication state when you're thinking.
That's right.
You are always thinking. You are not in a monologue. You are 100% in a dialogue all the time. And I don't really want a dialogue with an expectation of evil, but I often am if I don't realize it. I actually want a dialogue with the one who is good, and I have full access. He's right here. So now we're going to kind of pause on this idea of hope and embodiment, and I wanted you to grab your paper. And if you don't have paper, there's some up here. And Lisa, do you mind if anybody doesn't have some, just wave at Lisa. She'll take it to you. And then you're going to need something to color with.
Sure.
We have pastels, and there should be one on every row. If you can just grab a few colors. I'm sorry we don't have a whole box for everybody. Just because I like to have all the colors.
Anybody else?
Sorry. There's some more colors up here if anybody wants to grab them off the stage.
Colors?
Okay, you should have two pages. One is kind of our intro practice. We're going to go really fast. And then the next one is going to be where we slow down. And with your first page, I want you to somehow get four boxes. There's lots of ways to do that, but you can make a cross down the middle of your page. That gives you four boxes. You can make three lines. That gives you four boxes. Just four spaces to put something in. Does that make sense? Okay, and then real quick, I'm going to do like the speediest version ever of what does God's voice sound like. Y'all help me with the chart. If you've been here before and you know the chart, Jesus made a way for us to totally live in connection to God's voice. This is God's voice. This is your choice and your voice. Casey's voice. These are all the other ones. There's lots of voices out there. I really only care about your voice and God's voice. What does God's voice sound like? Hallmark of his voice.
Peaceful, sweet.
Love. Peace,
calm,
encouragement, and that comes with this big, beautiful word, courage, in it. Encouraging. Spell that wrong. Okay. Other voices. What's the opposite of love? What does perfect love cast off?
Critical.
Critical. Anxiety.
Condemning.
Condemnation. He doesn't move in condemnation, but he does beautifully move in conviction And it, you don't have to be afraid of it. It's his kindness that leads you to repentance. So when he, if it's really him convicting you, it's going to feel like freedom, even though he just shifted the way you're thinking and slightly admonished you. It will feel like, oh. It doesn't feel like, oh yeah, I'm so bad. That is shame and guilt, not Jesus. So let's just put those over here because we don't want to pay attention or be led by shame and guilt.
Amen.
Shame and guilt love to talk about Jesus, but they are not Jesus. They love to make us religious and have lots of rules and feel right about our life, but then internally, deep down, we're actually feeling shame and guilt, condemnation and fear. Okay, what else? Anything else? There's lots of them we could put, but you get the idea. So when we go to ask Jesus what he's saying, you want to check it. If you're going to believe that you have full access to the heart of God, and I fully believe every person does, he made you to live the dialogue. He gave you a mind to think with him. This is a normal life in Christ. If that's the case, then we also want to go, well, how do I check that? Well, you check, this is a great helpful chart. This chart comes from the Bible, the overarching story of God and his people, and Jesus. Does it sound like Jesus? He is the fullest revelation of God's heart in the earth, and we have this the Gospels to check it with. So, but the Spirit of God will not speak. He just doesn't speak in these ways. So your paper number one, you have four quadrants, and the question that we always use here, and I'm so thankful to Kelly Troya for teaching us this, it's a locator question. How do you locate the spot where the Spirit of God speaks to you? It's with two questions. There's others, but these are just always easy and helpful. Are you a child of God? Yes. Listen to the very first answer, and it comes in that deep place pretty fast. It'll be a yes. Sometimes you'll hear something afterwards that sounds like an argument or like, well, I don't know, or like a question. Awesome. Capture it. Like if you heard yes, well, maybe I'm not. That's the thing to ask him about. Jesus, I heard this thought that said maybe I'm not, but what do you say? And then again, you listen for that very first deep thing that comes in the same place as are you a child of God? Another locator question, will he ever leave you or forsake you? No. So if you are able to answer yes and no to those questions right there, that is the place where the Holy Spirit speaks. You do hear his voice. If you have ever had a desire to worship Jesus, raise your hand. Okay, you have all heard God's voice. That does not happen apart from the Spirit of God. He initiates his own worship. So if there's that little voice telling you, I don't know if you can really hear God's voice, I don't know if this will work for you, that's awesome because the Holy Spirit's showing you that that's a little lie speaking to you and you get to ask Jesus about it. It doesn't mean you don't hear God's voice. 100% you do. Okay, so we're going to ask Jesus and he's going to answer you pretty quickly and I want you to just go with the first answer. I'm going to ask Jesus right now to bring to mind for you a color that represents joy. You may not have that color, because I know we're a little limited on colors, so you may have to take a different color and write the word red, or whatever it was, okay? So put that color in this first box, and we're going to do it kind of quickly. This is not the drawing segment. This is just the hear the color and put it down segment. So this first box is a color that represents joy. And also, this is the non-judgment zone. No one has to be an expert in art. You can do stick figures. You can do abstract. It does not matter, especially as we get into the picture part. Okay, Jesus, so we're moving to the next box. Will you bring to mind a color that represents peace? And then put it here. If you feel ever like you're struggling to hear God's voice, this is seriously such a good exercise. It's so simple that I'll forget to do it, but this is so easy and it always connects you. It is so simple. Okay, the next box, third box. Jesus, will you bring to mind a color that represents pressure? And also, if you're ever feeling pressure or something like sorrow or anger or whatever, this is a great way to process it with the Lord. Like, literally, get out crayons and put that down on the paper from a place of connection with Jesus. And then ask him what he wants to give you.
Read that.
Okay, so that third box was, okay, let me write this in case you'll need it. Was this one peace?
Yes. Yeah.
Peace, pressure.
Pressure.
Okay, the last box, Jesus, will you bring to mind a color that represents freedom? And you may be going, I don't feel free right now. That's okay, go with the color that he brought and put it on the paper. That's kind of like a prayer. And you can tell him, I don't feel this, but I, if you even need to say it out loud, I'm going to put my hope in you to bring me freedom. Okay, the next page. On this page, I want you to divide it, not the way I drew it up here. I want you to divide it like this, like a cross. So fold it in half and fold it in half the other way, or just draw your lines across like that. You know what I'm going to see?
Yes.
Okay, and then everybody pay attention to your top left-hand corner, because we're going to start here, and we are going to go in a clockwise motion, okay? So we're going to do our first picture here, our second one here, third here, fourth one, okay? Yeah. It doesn't really matter. You can't mess it up, but people want to do it like I'm doing it. Okay, for the first picture, I'm going to ask Jesus to bring to mind for you a picture that represents hope deferred in your life. And you may be surprised by what comes. Go ahead and go with what comes, not what you thought would come. Any place in your heart or your life where something that you hoped for got deferred, like pushed down, pushed to the side. But let me ask the question again, because part of this is just letting Jesus bring it up to you. So, are you a child of God?
Yes.
Listen in that place you hear the yes. Jesus, you know us and you know our hearts. You know our story. Will you bring to mind a picture of some hope, big or small, that has been deferred in our lives? And then whatever way you want to represent that, you can do it even just with one color, you can do it with dots, you can do it with a picture. Go ahead and take a minute and draw that. And you know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so what we're about to do is just, if there's any way that it's kind of made us feel a little heart sick, just ask him to bring healing to that. So as you're coloring this, I'm going to ask, we're not moving on to the second picture yet. We're still in the first quadrant. I'm going to ask him a few questions and just be in your own conversation with him. Let him answer my question to you. You don't have to really understand. If you don't, I'd rather you just stay in a place of talking to him about it. So Jesus, will you help us feel whatever emotion is around that specific hope that was deferred? And as you feel that, I want you just to like give it to him, knowing that he's a safe place. Just kind of let it out to him. And Jesus, what do you want us to know about that particular hope? Sometimes if the Lord starts to speak in sentences, I'll put it on the back. Just write it out. And give you just one last section here of about 30 seconds just to really release it. And what came up for you may be smaller, it may be big, or it may be surprisingly bigger than you thought. But I want you just to also think about that embodiment thing, like let it out of the tent, you know, if there's any tension around it, or feeling of disappointment, or despair, or misunderstanding, or whatever. However that feels in your body, just notice it and let Jesus have it. Let him take any way that it has been a burden to you. And now we're going to move to the second picture, the second quadrant, and I'm going to ask Jesus what your life looks like when that hope is undeferred. What would it look like in your life if that hope that was once delayed, deferred, stuffed down, railroaded, actually becomes a living hope for you? And Jesus, how do you feel about that hope being centered, not deferred? And I just want to encourage you too in your dialogue, in the way that is normal for your voice in your head, in that place of talking with him, just show your gratitude for what he's saying. And I don't mean that with any guilt, like be thankful. Do you know what I mean? I more mean like gratitude's powerful. It's what I would express to my husband or my friend if they were speaking to me or giving me encouragement. It's more about just engaging in return, keeping the dialogue going. Okay, we're gonna move on to the third quadrant, which is right under this one. And I'm gonna ask Jesus to show you a picture that represents dreams or desires that he put in you when he made you. And I want you to trust what comes to your mind and put it down. So, are you a child of God? listen in that place. Jesus, when you made me, what desires and dreams did you plant in me like seeds? And Jesus, what do you want me to know about those specific desires that you planted in me? I don't know if this is true for you, but for sure for me, I have struggled with self-doubt over those things, thinking they were me and they were bad, kind of disembodying the desires that Jesus himself put in me. So it's powerful to hear him say, I put those in you. And they're good. We're going to move on to the last box now. And I'm going to ask Jesus to bring to mind for each one of you a picture that represents what it would look like for those seeds that he planted in you in the very beginning when he made you to now become trees of life in your grown-up self. So Jesus, what does it look like for those seeds to become trees of life? Okay, I'm not going to ask you to share it with each other, but I am going to ask you to please share this with somebody out loud. It's a simple thing, but it's part of the embodiment thing, not just keeping it on the inside, let it live outside of you as well. So this is that scripture that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And this is the kind of last 2 minute bonus material if this is interesting to you. This is what the Lord brought to my mind last night as I was sleeping. It was that Maslow's hierarchy of need. Do you know what I'm talking about? The pyramid, and you probably learned it at some point in school or didn't. I had to look it up. But it's I think he was in the 40s or 50s or 60s, and they've done a lot of studies around it. And they found that it doesn't really work the way he said it does, but it does hold true for all people groups, that people essentially have these basic needs. And I'm throwing this out there because I think this is where our hope gets stuck. And for going back to the conversation that Ashley started last week about manipulation and control, I think this is where we get stuck in the weeds of that. And so I hope this is helpful. If you're like, what is she talking about? Okay, don't worry about it. But if you look up Maslow's, and all these triangles will start to pop up. And basically we have these physiological needs. These are, you know, the needs, and I'm gonna do this pyramid, although now I think it probably just looks more like a square. Physiological needs, these are like, you know, we all need food, water, air, sleep, clothing, we need to reproduce, you know, sex. These are like basic needs. I'm just gonna put basic needs. And then we have safety needs, you know, personal security, boundaries, employment, you know, provision, resources, property, health. Then we have love and belonging, identity needs, friendship, intimacy, family, and a sense of connection. Then we have esteem needs. This is respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength, and freedom. I'm going to put freedom and esteem. And then that last part is the self-actualization. It's the desire to become the most that one can be. I 100% believe that it's the heart of the Holy Spirit to provide absolutely every need that we have. When we start to get nervous and listen to fear or insecurity about our basic needs and our safety needs, and our love and belonging needs, we start to move in control and manipulation and religion and fear. And we never even enter into these freedom and self-actualization needs. Or we'll tiptoe into it. Okay, these are dreams that God's put in my heart. This is what I feel like he's leading me to. And this is, you know, got this vision for this thing. And we're like going full steam ahead. And then one of these things gets threatened. And we abandon ship here first. But I think what the Holy Spirit loves to do is take us to a place where we can actually live fully, with full access to all of these needs being met. And we don't have to, remember what that said, we don't have to flee when we feel the pressure. We don't have to flee from these things and then fend for ourselves and just try to survive to get these things and either come under manipulation or use manipulation. We actually, when we're patient, when we're clinging to Jesus in the pressure, when we are moving in hope in the world, these are like literal, the Holy Spirit knows this. He knows how to keep us in this place where we're actually self-actualized, which is embodiment. It's that he made Mal like none other, you know, and his heart is for Mal to fully be self-actualized in this world, in this life. It's a short life. It's going to go like a breath. And why not? Why wouldn't she become the fullest version of Mal? And he can help her. So that's going to be my prayer, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll go. Jesus, I fully believe that you alone take us out of fear. You alone take us out of the traps of life on earth that tell us we have to control or fight to be provided for. And you say that you clothe the lilies. You say today has enough worries. And you say, I'm here. You've given us full access to your heart. And for me, that's so exciting. What I am so hopeful about is that means we actually get to become fully who we are, because we're not caught up in trying to prove anything. We're not caught up in the cycles of striving, and our hope isn't deferred, and our hopes especially isn't stuck in an expectation of mediocre or an expectation of bad or of evil. So any place that has been what manifested in our life, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would embody us to such an extent that we are living pillars of hope. That when people experience our life, and when we experience our life, the hallmark of it is that we are full of expectation of God, of good, of all greatness that comes with you, and that is our hope. You are a firm foundation upon which we stand in hope and move in hope. Show us how to do it. Make it practical for us today, Lord, even just in one thing, that we may speak differently, move differently, act differently because of the gospel of hope, the gospel of Jesus. Let it be. In Jesus' name, amen.